Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Film Buds podcast. This is episode number 176. And my name is Henry.
And I'm Paul.
This week, we got a pretty good show for you. We have a kind of an Independence Day special. We have a review of the first Independence Day from 1996, and then a review of the sequel, Independence Day Resurgence, from 2016. And then for news, we have a couple new trailers like Halloween Kills and then the Sopranos prequel, The Many Saints of Newark. And then we do have a listener question concerning Independence Day, the film. And if we have time, we might get to other stuff we watch. You know, we'll figure it out as we go. So thanks again for joining us. Paul, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm visiting my in-laws. My wife and I are going to be up here. We got in on the 29th, and we're going to be here until the 10th. And then we're going to go up to New York, and we're going to be in New York until the 14th. And then we're going to come back and stay here for a night, and then we're going to head back to Charlotte after that. So it's been a pretty good time.
It's a bit of a road show version of the show.
Yeah. Who knows? I may end up actually potentially recording one of these from New York, so we'll have to see.
Yeah. Cool. Well, yeah. Oh, and as I said to you, I did finish reading your script, which I really enjoyed, and so great job with that. And have you been... are you at the stage where you're submitting it or doing edits on it? What are you doing?
I'm doing an edit on it right now. I've printed out a single-sided version that I'm going through and making notes on and making an edit pass. So story-wise, I like it pretty well. I'm also waiting to get feedback, you know, from a few people, just to see how it's landing. So yeah, it's I'm glad that you like it. It's been quite the process.
Yeah.
So it might end up a little bit longer, maybe a little bit shorter, depending on how the edit goes. I'm like 30 pages into it right now. So
now with the this has no context for everybody, but the turtle character in it. Are you thinking design wise? Are you thinking like modern day Michael Bay TMNT? Like steroid turtles? Are you thinking?
I mean, he's definitely tall, but he isn't necessarily, I guess, meant to be quite as jacked, you know. I don't think that he's meant to necessarily look like a Gears of War character in a shell.
Sure.
So, you know, and something a little bit more turtly, you know, in the face as well. More cool. Reptilian. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not a whole lot else to mention, really. Yeah, not too much.
How's prep for your shipping out going?
It's going all right. I had this past week I had a development session, quote unquote, which is basically just like a workout that is run by the same people who do the tests that I've been doing the last couple months, and they basically take you through different types of exercises that you'll do in the selection and all of that, and in the Air Force, which, I mean, for anyone who hasn't listened to the last episodes. So that was not necessarily fun, but I was able to do well with it, you know, and so that was good. And so otherwise doing fine, you know, making progress.
Cool.
Yeah.
Were there other people there with you, or was it just you?
Yes, it's about, it can range anywhere from about 8 to maybe 25 or 30. The one we did this past week, it was only about 7 or 8 people. So it's always better to have just a few than a huge group of people, for me at least. So yeah, that was good. Other than that, yeah, just been kind of normal life, normal summer life, I guess.
Yeah, winded down and that sort of thing.
Yeah. All right, well, we got plenty to talk about. You want to jump into Independence Day?
Yeah, let's go and celebrate.
All right, yeah, let's get to our first review, which is the original Independence Day, and we do have a clip, so take a listen.
This way! Get up! That's what you get! Look at you! Ship all banged up! Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man? Wait till I get another plane! I'm lining all your friends up right beside you! Where you at, huh? Huh? Where you at? Welcome to Earth.
All right. The Independence Day came out in 1996, as I said, and it is directed by Roland Emmerich. It stars Will Smith, Bill Pullman, Jeff Goldblum, Randy Quaid, Judd Hirsch, Mary McDonnell, Harvey Fierstein, Vivica A. Fox. Am I forgetting anybody?
No, I think that's pretty much everyone.
Yeah. And the synopsis is the aliens are coming and their goal is to invade and destroy Earth. Fighting superior technology, mankind's best weapon is the will to survive. So this one is definitely a fan favorite for sure. You know, it's kind of was a kind of a staple blockbuster of the 90s, I think. And so, yeah, Paul, you suggested we do this. What's your background with this movie?
Well, you know, like everyone in the 90s, you know, it was like you said, it was a staple, you know, staple blockbuster that was in our, you know, in our house. And you also saw it all the time on TV and that kind of thing. I can't tell you how many times I've just like turned on TV and found Independence Day playing.
Yeah. It's the perfect cable movie.
Yeah. You know, it's a great, just have it on kind of movie. And so I grew up watching it and I was like, well, you know, we're trying to figure out something to do this week. And I suddenly realized that we were coming up on the 4th of July and I was like, oh, perfect. We can do the good one and we can do the bad one. So I grew up watching it. I loved it. You know, it was like Jurassic Park, Independence Day were like the two, you know, big 90s blockbusters that I really latched onto as a kid. So yeah, and it's one that I rewatch not every year. It's not one of those that like I do every Independence Day, but I've done it a few times. How about you?
Yeah, I'm similar to, I grew up watching it and I always had a fondness for it. I always liked it. And it's not one I would actually watch on Independence Day. I never really did that, but I've similar to you. I don't know how many times I've seen it, you know, it, because again, it is like the kind of perfect cable movie where I would always watch it if it was on. And rewatching it, like from start to finish, I still enjoy it. It's still solid. I think that the main issue with it is it's too long. Doesn't need to be 2.5 hours. Like there are easily certain storylines that could be lost because like when you really get into the middle of that movie, it really does feel it sags. Mm-hmm. Like there's so many characters and so many subplots that it just feels needlessly bloated, I guess you can say. And so other than that, I think, you know, the whole cast is great. Will Smith is my favorite for sure. You know, Jeff Goldblum, this is, you know, an iconic role of his as well. And Roland Emmerich, you know, he like, there's not a film of his that I love. Like, I don't know if he has any masterpieces in my book, but I'm always curious to see what he does because he's all about spectacle and scale. It's kind of similar to Michael Bay. In that way, but like it's clear that Roland Emmerich takes more from like Spielberg and James Cameron, whereas like Michael Bay takes from like Tony Scott and the MTV kind of rock star 90s style. And so like Roland Emmerich, while he has a bunch of glossy, big special effects, his style is still a little bit more subdued and self-aware than Michael Bay, who like thinks his characters are like, you know, pop culture icons. So, you know, I think Roland Emmerich has Michael Bay beat in that way. And in this movie, it works pretty perfectly. It's not a perfect film, but it's just self-aware enough to where you can get into it and enjoy it and get attached to the characters, but it's not like some super serious into the world deal, kind of like the sequel is.
Yeah, no, for sure. No, I hadn't watched it. I think the last time that I had watched the first one in full was actually like a few years ago when the second one was coming out, or had recently come out. And it's, you know, it definitely does have that SAG problem, but I think you're right. I think that the reason that it definitely holds up is because it does kind of have a similar feeling as like the first Jurassic Park does, you know, on a certain level. And I think that it has that same sort of structure of, you know, all of these people that are very particular types, you know, that have certain skill sets, you know, in this extraordinary circumstance. And, you know, obviously you have Jeff Goldblum in both. But beyond that, I think that it does capture, like, you know, that, like you were saying, that big sweeping, almost nostalgic, romantic sort of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Also, his filmography is kind of interesting. It's Universal Soldier, Stargate, you know, the Godzilla remake, not the 2014 one, but the 1999-2000 one.
Right.
So, you know, he's not always great, but this is definitely probably like one of his better movies. It's like this and The Patriot are probably like two of his best films.
And I like White House Down and 2012, you know. They're not masterpieces, but I enjoy them.
No, yeah. I think this movie is a smart movie in the way that it goes about handling the aliens. You know, it's that nice build-up. That's the other thing versus, you know, like the second one where things are just sort of relentlessly thrown at you. You know, this movie does have like a real simmering buildup before it really gets going. And I think that helps make it really, really effective. So that way when the aliens do, you know, and it's not that the alien ship opens up and they're immediately flooded. It's just, you know, laser beam goes down, everything's annihilated. And so I think that it's really explosive and really, really effective. I think you are right. I think the middle sags just a smidge. I'm not sure that we need to take out all of it, but it could definitely probably lose 5 to 15 minutes somewhere in there. That ending's spectacular, though. You know,
oh, yeah.
That's the thing. Like, you're coming to a blockbuster for spectacle, and I think that the movie manages to hit that without having characters that I don't care about at all. Like, I care about these people enough that I'm still pulled through the story.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And, you know, I think that an accomplishment of the movie is that it is very charming, and there are some genuinely funny moments, you know, which I feel like is kind of, you can kind of take that for granted with films like this, because it's not always easy to do in it. And when you get it right, it can really help a movie. And I think this is one of Will Smith's best blockbuster roles. I mean, it's really what launched him into that arena.
Yeah, movie stardom.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that I'm always up for a good city destruction sequence, and I think Roland Emmerich really does that well. He can just blow stuff up, and it's fun to watch. And yeah, I think one of the better scenes is in when they capture the alien in the, was it at Area 51, I guess is where it is. That whole sequence is great. Though now, I mean, I guess that a lot of movies could have been inspired by this. I am so tired of the trope of like a scientist or someone similar to that, like getting off on like the beauty of like an alien, where like, you know, there's the scientist who's like, oh, it's so beautiful, and I love all this stuff. And then obviously they've caused all this destruction. And so in a way that they're wrong. I'm so tired of that. In this movie, I can kind of give it a break for the time that it came out. I just feel like there are so many films since that have done that, and it's so tiresome.
No, that's definitely fair. And, you know, this movie, everyone is very much sort of like a stock character, but I think that everyone lives inside of those roles very authentically, which is why it all works so well, you know, because no one really necessarily goes on like a hard journey in this movie. You know, no one really necessarily learns a lesson David, kind of, I guess, but it's pretty loose. You know, it's really about humanity surviving. It's about people versus the aliens, and about, you know, the reasons why we endure, you know, for each other and things like that and so forth. And but I think that everyone lives authentically inside of their characters, which is why no one ever feels too hokey. You know, mm-hmm. Brent Spiner is doing like lunatic, nutty scientist type, but he's doing it in a way that isn't so hokey, especially, you know, like compared to how some of the characters are handled in the second one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that even though it is very much like a movie that's in the 90s, like, yeah, it's obviously in the 90s, it's one of those movies that I think is pretty timeless on a lot of levels and for a lot of audiences, kind of like Ghostbusters on a certain level. You know, I think that the first one will probably stick around longer than a lot of other like blockbusters do.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and one thing that, like, going back to what I was saying earlier, is like, while Roland Emmerich doesn't always write his scripts, he, and similar to like James Cameron, he kind of like writes in cliche intentionally. Mm-hmm. And so you can kind of get that, again, you get that self-awareness of how the characters are acting and the tone. And so it's like, it never really takes itself too seriously, and where you're kind of taken out of it, even, you know, especially since it's this huge alien sci-fi blockbuster, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The speech still works, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
The speech holds up.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I guess I don't have a whole lot of, like, specifics to say because, again, it is just a blockbuster. You know, it's very digestible, and it's one that pretty much everybody has seen or at least seen part of, you know. And it is worth watching. You know, it may not be as good as when I first saw it, you know, again, just mostly because of the length, but otherwise I think it's still really enjoyable. And yeah, I'll always kind of have a fondness for it.
No, absolutely. And it's iconic. It's a simple, straightforward movie. You know, is it a little fussy maybe with how many, you know, characters it has, a little messy with how many characters it has and stuff going on, maybe a little bit. But overall, you know, it's a great, big, iconic movie with a really simple narrative and nice, clean visuals. You know, it's not cut to death. You just get to see the aliens, and it knows how to give it scope and scale and clear geography. And so I think that that's why it really works and pays off so well, is just because it's a nice, straightforward movie that isn't cut to death or bogged down by a whole bunch of exposition about where the aliens came from and things like that. You know, it's telling its story.
Yeah. And one scene I do really like is the scene in the tunnel where the dog just barely makes it out alive when the fire is going through.
Mm-hmm.
It's great stuff.
Oh yeah. And then the fire doesn't come in through the open doorway.
Exactly.
Cause that's how fire works.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It was nice to revisit it. Yeah, I mean, any specifics about this one?
No, I mean, you know, I think if I had to sort of trim up one thing, honestly, I think I maybe just would have killed the president's wife on impact. I don't think that we needed her to drag on.
Yeah,
probably.
That's fair enough. She could have gone. Mm-hmm. I do like the scene as well with when Will Smith crashes in the desert and he goes over and punches the alien in the face. That's a good sequence.
Oh yeah, welcome to Earth.
Yeah, and then where he gets picked up by the RV tractor or what do you call it? I guess it's RVs.
Yeah,
yeah,
like the whole fleet of RVs and that sort of thing. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. All right. Anything else about the first Independence Day, Paul?
I wonder how close Randy Quaid is now to his character in the movie.
Yeah,
it's my last little musings. Wonder how Randy Quaid's doing.
Yeah,
not well, I imagine.
No. All right. Out of 5 stars.
I'll go 4.
Yep, same for me. All right, then let's get on to the sequel, which is Independence Day Resurgence. And we also have a clip, so take a listen.
David, please tell me this isn't some kind of a Trojan horse.
I don't think it's a danger to us, but it must be to them.
He turned it on just by touching it.
What? I activated myself when I detected your biological signature to be different from theirs.
It speaks! In English!
I deconstructed your primitive language.
We're primitive?
Correct. My species shed our biological existence for a virtual one thousands of years ago.
Far out.
Why are you here?
When I intercepted their distress call, I knew they would come to exterminate you. I came to evacuate as many of you as possible, but you attacked me with the same weapons they used on us.
They attacked you?
Correct. A harvester ship conquered our planet and extracted its molten core.
Okay, so as I said, Independence Day Resurgence came out in 2016, 30 years later. Or no, 20, excuse me. That's bad math there. And it's in the synopsis as well, 2 decades. So it stars, let's see, Liam Hemsworth, Jeff Goldblum, Bill Pullman, Micah Monroe, Jesse T. Usher, Sayla Ward, Judd Hirsch, William Fichtner, Brett Spiner, Vivica A. Fox, Charlotte Gainsbourg. Forgetting anybody?
No, I think that's everyone.
Yeah. And 2 decades after the first Independence Day invasion, Earth is faced with a new extrasolar threat. But will mankind's new space defenses be enough? So this came out 20 years after the original. And, you know, Paul, had you seen this?
Yeah.
Prior? Okay, so had I.
Yeah. And I guess this is the fifth anniversary then of the movie. This year is.
Yeah.
If it was so.
Yeah.
I saw it 5 years ago in Grauman's Chinese Theater. Hmm. So I saw this big dumb movie just as big as you could see it, and it's so much dumber than the first movie.
Yeah, which, like, is hard.
It is truly stone stupid compared to the first movie. Mm. And like I enjoyed watching this movie the first time I saw it, and not in the sense of like, oh, this is a good movie. I was blown away by the sheer audacity of this movie the first time that I saw it. It's pretty belligerent. And that's sort of how I felt about it the first time that I saw it. And then I watched it again later one time on video. And then I watched it again recently. I watched it yesterday. And it was even dumber than I remembered it being.
Mm. You too, huh?
Yeah. It was even dumber than I remembered it being. It was remarkable. It got dumber with age.
Yeah. I didn't see this in theaters, mercifully. I saw it a couple years after it came out, with had no real interest in seeing it. I mean, it's one of those sequels. I mean, no movie necessarily needs a sequel, but many can get away with doing a sequel if the story is really good. This mm-hmm. has none of that. No one needed it. No one asked for it. And so they just made it purely, again, for, you know, the most shallow of reasons. And with what I was saying about the first one, where Roland Emmerich doesn't take himself too seriously, this movie, I mean, while there are jokes in it, the look is so dark.
Mm-hmm.
It feels tonally much darker. And going against the first one, he treats the characters who are brought back as these precious, like, beloved characters who he needs to call back to and, like, you know, the similar lines or whatever it may be. And like, I don't think anybody gives a shit. Like, while sure, it's always nice to have certain characters brought back, maybe say certain things that remind you of the first. It's like, I don't know, seeing Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom in a way.
Yeah.
It's all just callbacks. And I don't care about that. I just want to see a new story. And so it's not like a 0 out of 5 or anything like that. Like, there are still certain moments of spectacle that I think are good, and I enjoy that. But like the cast, I really like Micah Monroe. She's kind of wasted in this. I think she's pretty good though in a lot of things. She's probably my favorite. Liam Hemsworth, like I don't mind Chris Hemsworth. I like him as Thor, and I like him in like Rush and In the Heart of the Sea. Paul, I know you feel the same about that one. I put him in the same boat as not Clint Eastwood. Who's the son of Clint Eastwood? Scott Eastwood. While I understand Hollywood casting people who are just attractive, like I can accept that. He and Scott are like the most vanilla, bland actors. Like Liam Hemsworth, I guess his best work is probably The Hunger Games, but I've never seen him change his face. Like he always
has that same sort of stupid, you know, dopey look on his face.
Yeah, he's just so, nothing against him personally, he's just so vanilla all the time, and he's not very good in it. And like Jeff Goldblum, he's fine. He doesn't have a whole lot to do, nor does anyone really. and so I feel like I'm hating on the movie a lot, but so, you know, rewatching it, it's not very good. I wasn't hating myself, but it's just something that nobody needed, really. And I feel like Roland Emmerich actually came out and said later it maybe wasn't the best idea to do a sequel to this. Or to the original. Yeah, I don't know. It's not very good.
Well, and like, you know, the last one had a good amount of story stretched over 2 hours and 20 some odd minutes. This thing is 2 hours and it is jam packed.
Yeah.
It is jam packed with stuff happening, not necessarily plot, but just stuff happening. Mm. You know, you've got all of the stuff of the three young kids having their things. You've got Vivica Fox in the hospital. We've got the president. We've got the military guy who ends up becoming the president. We've got the nerd friend and his crush on the fighter pilot, who's also related to the captain of the moon station. We bring back Brent Spiner. We do Judd Hirsch and the kids travel cross country. Like, this movie is just to the gills full, and yet nothing happens in this movie beyond alien stuff. The geography of this movie is just completely all over the place and unclear. Like, this is just... it's a dumb movie. And like, remember in the last Independence Day how Jeff Goldblum had to figure out the code and learned that it was almost running off of a software and that they could essentially hack that OS and give it a computer virus, and that's what gave us the edge. Here, their technology has not advanced, but is also good enough that some of our alien technology weapons can't penetrate theirs. And then the way that they end up sort of, you know, defeating the queen alien in large part is because Liam Hemsworth makes ship go fast.
Yes.
And like, this whole movie is just inescapably dumber on every conceivable level than the last one. And it does the classic issue of telling me about a story that happened somewhere else or sometime else that I go, why wasn't that the movie that I got? Because I heard about how like people in Africa were having a completely different type of warfare with the aliens than the rest of the world was apparently having. And I was like, where's this movie?
Typical.
They've got a lot of alien skulls. I would much rather watch, you know, sort of Predator War kind of thing than whatever this movie is. You know, it's ridiculous that they bring Brent Spiner back. That man was dead.
Yeah.
That man was dead.
Mm. And he's brutal in it.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing. You know, the last one, everyone was living really authentically in the characters. Here, you've got no one living in any kind of character because a lot of these characters don't really have characters anymore. You know, they wrote the part to be more of a Jeff Goldblum person than David actually was originally. So you end up with a lot more sort of Goldblum-isms into the character that really make him feel not at all like a progression of the character that we had from the first movie.
Mm-hmm. It feels like he's doing an impersonation of his character in the first one.
Yeah. And this whole movie has that sense of doing a bad impression of the first one, essentially. Even giving Bill Pullman a speech again.
Yeah.
We didn't need the speech again.
No. honestly, 85% of this movie is just people yelling at each other in bunkers.
Yeah.
And again, it's so darkly blue in its look. Mm-hmm. It just becomes so monotonous.
Yeah.
And drab. And again, it's like, and also with the whole bunker fiasco, like everything, they're always looking at these like holographic, like panels and screens, and it all looks so flat and bland. And
yeah.
This movie had a huge budget, but it that stuff does not look good. I think the spectacle effects look pretty solid, but like everything inside the bunkers looks so green screen.
Yeah. It had an estimated budget of $165 million.
Yeah, that's embarrassing. go ahead.
And it was supposed to also be the launching ship of like two or three more sequels. So they were like really committing big on this thing.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't think that worked really.
You don't think it paid off? You don't think the gamble worked?
No. And also one thing in terms of like Roland Emmerich's style in this, while I'm always even up, like nowadays I'm up for a good alien invasion movie, his style in this and the special effects, like we've seen this kind of movie, and a lot of it might be inspired by the first one, but in the two decades since, we've seen movies so similar to this that do it much better. And so it's like, just because he can throw in these huge special effects, like we've seen that time and time again over the years, and most of the time it's more interesting than it is in this. Like, you know, the whole gravity thing where the city will come up and then come down, like we that's kind of tired at this point. And so while the effects may look good in theory, they're not very impactful.
No, not at all. And they also have the classic issue of, you know, when you do too much, you know, when you do as much digitally as they did, it starts to feel unreal. You know, you start to zap the danger out of so many of the scenarios when it's just constantly this massive visual extravaganza, you know, just perpetually visual things happening, visual effects, you know, just everywhere.
Yeah. I do like the final fight with the queen. That's, you know, that's all right. I don't mind that. And I kind of like the look of the alien. And so that's the third act might be one of the better parts about it. And I do like, even though it's not all that long, I do like the scene of them, of the ship going over Earth and being so huge. You know, I like the look of that. And yeah, it's just, you know, again, it's something that I feel no one really asked for, and it feels that way. You know, like it made a little money. I think it kind of flopped though, in the long run.
Just shy of $400 million.
Okay, so not that in itself is embarrassing that many people went to see this, but like it's, yeah. Like I feel like it, you know, I watched it out of obligation, you know.
I like the first one. I guess I'll watch this one.
Yeah. I've seen it, you know, but even so, there are parts of it I like, and, you know, it's not, there's nothing like offensively wrong with it. It's just that it's so underwhelming.
Yeah. And just half-baked concepts perpetually at every turn. The aliens that are apparently so powerful that they're the only things that these aliens fear, but they are so weak that they got wiped out except for one left, who now has weapons and technology and skills so powerful that he's teaching other aliens how to fight back.
Mm.
And he's now coming to take Earthlings to this planet to teach us how to kill them. If you're so powerful, why did you get wiped out? Furthermore, why didn't you bring anyone else? Why is your strategy not come bring a whole attack force with you, help turn the tide, then take people? Why did you just come as an envoy that maybe didn't even speak English? You didn't even...
Oh, please, you're talking nonsense now.
So, you know, just a lot of things where it's like, if you had given it a second thought, you'd have gone, one, maybe this will lead to a better story. Because I could have been interested in a sudden movie about like two alien species coming to the planet Earth and having like their own little mini war that we're just kind of...
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and two, you know, you can decide if that idea is actually really worth keeping or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm trying to think of other things.
We didn't need the Judd Hirsch plot. That entire thing
No. could
have just been...
Lose it.
Lose it and burn it with fire.
Yeah, I am thankful this one was only about 2 hours, so that was nice.
The moment for me where you have to decide whether or not you're going to... You have to decide whether you want to be annoyed by the movie or find a way to enjoy how stupid it is. And for me, the point in the movie that you have to decide real quick is when Vivica Fox dies.
Right.
Her hilarious death on that building is the moment that I think you either go, this movie is stupid and I hate it, or this movie is stupid and I'm going to see how much dumber it can be.
Yeah. And like, I mean, I wasn't annoyed while I was watching the movie for sure. Like I wanted to go in there and love it, but it's just that it's just boring, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of it, but you know, it's still, I can still get through it. I do like the scene where Liam Hemsworth pees in front of the aliens. That's pretty good. And that's probably one of the few times I enjoy that performance. That's not bad. Oh, in the first one, I should have said this before, they kind of predicted the QAnon generation, like with the people holding signs on the skyscraper, hoping the aliens come. All of that stuff, all the conspiracy theorists. I enjoyed that. Yeah, I don't know. I wish it was good. Like, I wasn't betting on it to fail or anything. It's just even from the trailer when I first saw it, I was like, oh, they went in the wrong direction.
But like, oh, I see what direction they went in.
Yeah, and like in terms of the whole bunker thing, I don't know why I'm stuck on that, but like. I don't know who, if it's Roland, the other writers or the producers, I don't know. And it's in so many sci-fi blockbusters these days, like spending all of this time in underground, dark places. I don't know whose idea it is to do that. Like here, what did we love when we were kids? Oh, that's right. Sitting in a bunker chatting. Like, if you think about like War of the Worlds with the Steven Spielberg one, the worst part of the movie is when they're stuck inside the dude's basement.
Yeah.
Because like you're hearing all these things and you wish you could be outside. And in this, it's like you want to be outside seeing what's going on. You don't care about the dynamics and the love stories between these people, you know, and like it's like the same issue I had with the Assassin's Creed movie, even though I like that movie, it's like there's so much time spent in those gray, dark, like prison areas that it's like, who wants to be here?
You know?
And so that's something in this movie, like that immediately struck me. I'm like, why are we here? You know?
So. No, for sure. And it doesn't help also that it's the most generic dialogue imaginable that's also coming out of these people's mouths in these bunker scenes. It's not like we're getting, you know, Doctor Strangelove level discourse on what we're going to do here and what our options are. We're getting very generic fire on my command, you know.
Yeah.
So,
And like they all feel like one-liners for trailers. Like, yeah, we had 20 years to prepare. So did they. So like, yeah, you know, I didn't mind rewatching it, you know. Yeah, I think it's definitely one of Roland Emmerich's worst films for me. Like I said, I will pretty much watch what he does. You know, I enjoy White House Down in 2012 and a couple of others in there, I guess. But yeah. Well, anything else about Independence Day? Either of them?
You know, I honestly almost wish we had gotten the third one just because I was completely sold on the idea of going and doing a boot camp movie on an alien planet. Like, I was 100...
That'd be good.
Yeah, I was completely on board with the idea of what the third movie might have been. You know, that I was like, you know what? If it gets me to a better movie, I'll stomach this one. But...
yeah, as much as like I hate myself for saying it, and I know it's what the producers want. If they made a third one, I would watch it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. They're definitely not going to.
No, I'm part of the problem for sure. But like, yeah. Okay. Well, out of 5 stars.
1.5.
That's. I'll go light 2. Yeah, so there you go. Happy Independence Day. So, all right, well, I guess we can move on from that and get on to a little news. Paul, anything other than the trailers for you that you've seen? Anything new?
No, not really.
Yeah. So then I guess the first trailer we can talk about is Halloween Kills, which is the upcoming Halloween film installment, and brings back Jamie Lee Curtis again, just as the one a couple years ago did. Mm-hmm. Paul, are you? I mean, we haven't really talked about Halloween much. Are you a Halloween fan?
Yeah, So, growing up, I wasn't really much into horror, and then I kind of got into horror, but I still hadn't really gotten into slashers, and like I watched like the Friday the 13th and the Nightmare on Elm Street remakes that they did. I didn't see the Rob Zombie Halloweens because I'm not really much of a Rob Zombie fan.
You should.
maybe. And I decided to, you know, just sort of move on from the genre in general. And then in horror class in college, we ended up watching Halloween. And I loved the first one. I thought that John Carpenter's Halloween was absolutely kick-ass. I loved how much of it was like a very much, you know, self-made movie. I haven't seen any of the Halloween sequels, you know, because I've heard mixed things and because it's just not something that I wanted to waste my time with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But maybe, then... Yeah. but then, you know, they announced that they were doing this new one that was going to be like a direct sequel to the old Halloween. And it was going to be David Gordon Green, who I quite like. He did Pineapple Express and he does a lot of the Danny McBride TV shows, you know, like Eastbound and Down.
Yeah, he's cool.
And a North Carolina native.
Yeah.
And so I was like, yeah, I'll give this a go. I'll give this a shot. I love Jamie Lee Curtis. And I really enjoy the new sort of reboot sequel thing that they've got going on. I am frustrated that it does the thing of using the same title as the first one again. Mm. But so it's Halloween and Halloween.
No, we have three.
Yeah.
Three of them. Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of a little bit of a pain. But I honestly just really enjoyed the movie a lot. I thought that it had a good core concept of being about like trauma and how trauma affects your life and the lives of other people. And I enjoyed the new one quite a bit. How about you?
Yeah, the new one. I think I talked about it briefly back when I saw it. I enjoyed it. I've seen all of the Halloween movies. And so I guess I'm invested at this point, but I did really like the new one as well. And pretty much for all the same reasons you did. And the new one, Halloween Kills, I mean, it looks like a Halloween movie.
Yeah.
You know, that's all you can really say about it, but I think it looks intense and it looks interesting. So, I mean, I think it should be a solid sequel.
Yeah. They wrote the second and the third like back to back, and I think that they're shooting them back to back as well. So it's going to be like Halloween, Halloween Kills, and then I think it's Halloween Ends is the third one. I like how big it looks like this movie is going to be. It looks like this is going to be like a really almost massive for a Halloween movie in scale and scope. I like that it picks up directly after the first one and that it's still on the same Halloween night. I think that that's cool.
Yeah.
The trailer gave me a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. I think I could have used a few more things pulled out so that way I could have gotten the wow factor of it when I saw it the first time. In particular, I think that I got too much of the firefighters getting killed.
Right.
And I also think that I would have liked to have seen the light bulb kill in the movie. I'd have really gotten a jolting reaction out of that.
Yeah.
If it hadn't been for the trailer.
Oh, the trailer itself, it was pretty graphic.
Like, yeah.
I was like, okay, well, they're just showing us these bloody kills on it. But, you know, whatever. It's fine.
I guess it's going to be, my only hope is that they showed us all the stuff that's kind of like gimmies and that they saved all the really creative, fun stuff for the movie itself.
Yeah. So yeah, that one comes out, I guess in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, then the other big trailer is The Many Saints of Newark, which is the upcoming Sopranos prequel movie.
Mm-hmm.
And also with this one, Paul, we haven't really talked about The Sopranos at all. What are your thoughts on all that?
I never finished The Sopranos, not because I didn't like it. It was just one of those things where life happened and I fell out of it for so long and was so deep into it. I was like, you know, middle of the way through like the third or fourth season or something like that.
Mm.
So, you know, and then I fell out of it for like months and months and months. And when I finally was like, oh, I should go back to this, I was like, where the hell was I in this story?
Mm.
And I was like, I can't restart. I can't do that now. But I love James Gandolfini. You know, he was a tremendous actor. And I love so many of the other actors in that show from the main cast and who came in as supporting characters and stuff like that. So I like The Sopranos quite a lot. It's probably something that I'll try and get back into at some point.
Mm.
How about you?
Yeah, I watched The Sopranos. It's not a show. I get the you know, love of it by people, but it's not one of my favorite shows. I really enjoyed watching it, but it's not one that's like would be an all-time favorite for me. It's very well done, and it's, you know, it just wasn't one that like really really pulled me in as it might have for other people. But this movie, I even when it was announced, I didn't have a whole lot of interest in it. I think I'll pretty much see it for John Bernthal. He's in it. I like him a lot. I think it looks like a gangster mob movie. There's not a whole lot else there to mention, but you know, it could be interesting. What do you think?
No, for sure. There wasn't anything in the trailer that necessarily, you know, made me think like, wow, they're really swinging outside of like the genre in this mm-hmm. one, you know, like it looks like it could be really good. It's definitely a movie that is obviously and openly, I think, for people who have already watched the show. Like, I really don't think that this is meant for, if this is meant to get newcomers, then I don't think that trailer did a good job.
No.
Because like my wife has zero reference point of anything Sopranos related and just kind of watched it and was like, I feel like I should know more about what I'm watching than I currently know.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. So, you know, I'll probably watch it at some point, but it's not one that I'm just dying to see.
No, yeah. I don't know why he's coming back to it. Honestly, I'm not sure why David Chase was like, I need to go and retell this story. You know, yeah. I need to take the events that everyone heard about in The Sopranos and I need to show it to them. Unless he's going to like completely rewrite, you know, whatever people understand about Sopranos history in it. It's that question of like, what's the purpose of this? How is this going to deepen, you know, my understanding of these characters and this history? Or are you just showing me something that you already talked to me about?
Yeah.
But, you know, Sopranos, I'll probably go back and give the show another watch at some point. I probably will hold off on watching the movie, honestly, until I've finished the show.
Mm.
Or at least rewatched the first season. But, you know, The Sopranos, it's one of those shows that really paved the way for a lot of modern TV.
Mm-hmm.
It was like The Wire, The Sopranos, Rome. These like three HBO shows were the ones that really like broke open HBO for people and also, you know, definitely changed the TV landscape.
Oh, Rome.
I love Rome. Game of Thrones before Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's yeah, for sure. Did you ever see The Borgias with Jeremy Irons?
That was Showtime.
Yeah. Kind of in that same vein. But yeah, we'll see. You know, we'll see how it goes. You know.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, with that done, I guess we can touch on a listener question, which kind of relates to the Independence Day genre, so to speak. So, the filmbudspodcast@gmail.com is where you can reach us at. Also, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram @filmbuds. So, if you haven't sent us a, you can just say hello or send us a question or a comment. We love hearing from anybody if you're new or if you have been listening for a long time. And so this one comes from Jimmy in Rapid City, South Dakota. Paul, you got a location there.
Yeah, there we go.
So he says, "Dear Henry and Paul, I listen to your podcast on my evening walks and it brings me much calm and entertainment. I didn't like the new Independence Day much, ditto. And a lot of that was because the spectacle didn't feel very awe-inspiring to me like the first one did. As far as special effects go, have we plateaued? Could that be one of the reasons why many are transitioning to TV? Cheers." Paul, what do you think? Have we hit a plateau? Have we lost the wow factor? You know, are we going to have another kind of Jurassic Park moment in movie history?
Yeah, I think we will. I think it will probably have to come with one of two things, either a technological advancement of some kind, either in the production side or in the film display, you know, in the actual how we view the movie side. But I think I don't think we've necessarily lost it. I think you also just have to be creative in what you're showing and how you're showing it.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Yeah, maybe plateaued in terms of like, I don't know, visual or technical quality, maybe, but it does come down to that execution because, you know, like there are most people go to the theaters now and they have a certain standard of special effects. And so when they're not good, it's very noticeable. But I think that I still hear people talk about every once in a while, like, wow, those effects were incredible, or that moment mm-hmm. was amazing. And it has a lot to do with how it's presented, as you said. So plateaued, I mean, maybe that's the right word in a sense, but I feel like there's always room for, you know, innovation. So I wouldn't say we're not going to be growing anymore.
Yeah. And Jurassic Park and, you know, Star Wars and Avatar, you know, these are like once in a while movies that, you know, push boundaries and move visual effects forward and change the game. Lord of the Rings, things like that, you know, they don't really happen terribly, terribly often. So I think that it does really boil down in a lot of instances to getting creative with your visual effects, and instead of just, you know, plastering them everywhere, you know, really thinking about what would be interesting to see, what's what are the rules that now suddenly make this conceptually more interesting? You know, because it's like the zombies in Army of Dead. What were the rules of them? I don't know. You don't know. Who gives a shit?
True.
And that's not interesting. It's interesting to know exactly how something functions, so that way you know what the parameters are of this thing. So I think that we can still be blown away. Honestly, I think that we'll probably be blown. We had better be blown away by Avatar 2 for how long we've been waiting for that fucking thing. So I think we'll probably be blown away by other things moving forward and have those awe-inspiring moments. But it really always does just come down to the execution.
Yeah. And like, I mean, it's the one I always go back to, but probably the last movie that I was awestruck, quote unquote, was Mad Max Fury Road. And like that movie has a lot of special effects in it. It doesn't do anything like it's not innovative in some crazy, crazy way. It's just executed so well.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see how many movies since then have been inspired by Mad Max and its action or whatever it may be. And so like, you know, that movie, maybe not for everybody, but like that movie was definitely very impactful despite just being a summer blockbuster at its heart.
No, absolutely. What was the last movie that I was really like in awe of what I was looking at? Maybe Blade Runner.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Maybe Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe someone's eventually going to go and make like some crazy animatronic, you know, remote controllable things, you know, or we're actually going to start having some of these weird jetpack and hoverboard concoction things with drones that people have concocted. And we'll get to start doing all kinds of crazy practical things. Wouldn't it be great if we had like a weird boom back to like, hey, we can do things practically, mm-hmm. you know, all these things that we simulated before. Now we can do them. We can put Willem Dafoe on a drone elevated thing and have him flying around on a glider, and it's going to look great. You know?
And now in terms of upcoming films, I have a very good feeling, I could be wrong, about Dune.
Yeah.
Cause you know, that's done by Denis Villeneuve. And like, he's someone who actually gives a shit.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, he's someone who clearly cares. He has a lot of talent. And so like, that's the kind of film similar to Blade Runner 2049 that could have a huge impact.
No, absolutely.
And so, you know, I think that's probably the one coming up that I'm aware of that I think has great potential. And, you know, so it's an interesting discussion, but no, maybe people have gotten lazier because technology, it's easier to create good special effects and get away with it. But I don't think we have necessarily plateaued either.
No, for sure. I think it is just a question of dedication. You know what? Another movie that actually had me in awe and again was visually, you know, spectacular for me was Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yeah.
That opening hunt scene in theaters was absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Just incredible to see and witness on the big screen. So you still get them.
Yeah. All right. Anything else about the subject?
No, thank you. Thank you, Billy?
Jimmy.
Damn. Sorry.
Paul. But thanks again, Jimmy. That was a good question. And again, the FilmBuds podcast at gmail.com is where you can send us those questions. So go ahead and do it. If you haven't already, we'd like to hear from you.
And I think is he currently our furthest away that we've gotten? He's a full day. He's like a day's drive away.
Well, we've had international before. So lately, yes. Because I think people haven't been sending us their locales. So way to go. So yeah, thanks again, Jimmy.
Yeah, thank you, Jimmy. Sorry about the name flub.
Yeah, sorry. We'll talk about that later. So all right, you want to end off with some picks of the week, Paul?
Yeah, sure.
All right. What have you been watching?
So there's only one that I would honestly like recommend out of what I've been watching lately, and that's the original Sam Raimi Spider-Man. My wife and I watched that one. It's actually, we keep a log of every movie that we've watched this year. And so that was our movie 100.
Hmm.
And it's really great. It still holds up. It's campy, but it means to be. And it lives in this weird, fantastical world that is this sort of storybook version of New York that just does not exist in any kind of way. And I really enjoy it. It's great.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I have recently rewatched Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Okay.
I never really much cared for that one before. I still don't like it. It does not really hold up for me.
Mm.
And boy, howdy, does it get real racist in that one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. In particular, I think one of the worst offender scenes is the dinner scene where they show like all of these, you know, brown actors or people who have been put in makeup eating things like monkey brains as dessert. Yeah. And you know, it's just very outright offensive. It's it's pretty tough.
That's not too, that's not great.
No.
Any others for you? What's your favorite of that franchise?
Probably either Raiders or Last Crusade.
Yeah.
1 and 3 are great. 2 and 4 are rough. I'm hoping that it's an effect where like the even ones are great. And so maybe 5 will surprise me.
Yeah.
But currently I'm not expecting to be surprised. And then I just watched Jurassic World again last night. And that's probably the best of the Jurassic sequels. A low bar, but I think it's one that it crosses. You know, it's still nowhere near as good as the original Jurassic Park, but it's pretty good. It's probably got some of the best moments and best ideas and best execution on those ideas, but it's also pretty dumb at times as well.
Very.
So.
Yeah. And I guess the new one is coming out this year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you go and see F9 in IMAX theaters, there's a preview of some kind for the movie.
Okay. Cool. All right. Well, I have a handful of things that I'll just try and burn through. I rewatched Little Miss Sunshine,
okay,
which I hadn't seen in quite some time. And I probably liked it even more this time around. It definitely had a bit of an impact when it came out. Like, I remember everybody loved this movie, and I feel like it's that very, what is now, it's the like the typical Sundance movie in terms of its tone and its style. And so I think it really did really have a bit of a shelf life. Then I rewatched Rushmore, a Wes Anderson film, which I love. It's awesome. Rewatched Forrest Gump, which I hadn't seen all the way through in ages. And I still think I loved it by the end. I mean, there are parts of it that have been so played out or parodied that it's really hard to take them seriously. But I think in a vacuum, it's great for a lot of reasons. And so I it was really nice to go back and watch that again. Rewatched Field of Dreams, which is awesome. Probably my favorite Ray Liotta performance, I think. And yeah, so that's a great film. Even if you're not really a fan of baseball, it just works really, really well. I watched, for the first time, watched London Has Fallen. Paul, have you seen this?
No.
I saw the first one, and maybe by obligation, I decided to watch this one. It's with Gerard Butler, and he's the Secret Service guy who goes to London with the president, and there's this huge terrorist attack, and they kind of have to fight their way out and survive. And it's like kind of, it's watchable. I think that's about what all of them are. There's nothing offensively wrong with it. It's just a pretty simple meat and potatoes action film, but it doesn't do really anything more than that. But in a way, it's kind of refreshing to have it not be some super complicated, interconnected movie. It's just kind of a destruction action film. So that was all right. Then I rewatched Major League, which is one of my favorite comedies. And yeah, it's hilarious. And then lastly, another baseball film. I rewatched The Scout with Brendan Fraser and Albert Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
And Albert Brooks is this Yankee scout, and he goes down to Mexico and he discovers Brendan Fraser's character, who's this like incredible pitcher and hitter. And he decides to bring him up and get him to try out for the Yankees. But it turns out that Brendan Fraser is this super like basically a man child. And he has to deal with the darkness of this guy's past and his inability to really function in the real world without Albert Brooks being at his side. And so it's kind of a coming of age father son story, and it's good. I used to watch it a lot when I was a kid, and there's nothing groundbreaking in it, but it's still a charming 90s story. And so yeah, that was kind of cool to go back and revisit. And that's about it, I believe.
Were you actively choosing to watch this many baseball movies, or did it just happen by accident?
So I didn't set out to watch so many, but I think I rewatched Field of Dreams first. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I guess I'll watch one more. And so, cause I mean, when I was a kid, I was obsessed with baseball. And so I kind of have a real fondness for it. So I wasn't setting out to do that, but that's just how it ended up.
Are you going to watch Moneyball next?
I don't think I will, because I rewatched that a couple months ago. I'm going to try and find. I realize there are two major league sequels. I mean, I'm sure they're terrible, but
yeah, I don't think you need those in your life.
I might try and find some others. Maybe that I saw when I was a kid or something. But the thing is, baseball, even though there are plenty of people who don't like baseball, I think baseball is probably one of the best sports that fits cinema. Like it's style and feeling just fits the cinema structure really well. Like the amount of breaks and the kind of underdog story. It's a sport that really complements or fits well in a film structure, I think. And so I think that's why I enjoy watching it. But yeah, I think that's about it for me.
Okay. No, that's a pretty solid list. No, yeah. Those are all pretty good.
Yeah. All right. Well, Paul, anything else you want to mention, man?
No, not really. It's honestly just kind of a slow period for me. I might end up seeing a movie in theaters sometime soon. My wife and I might end up braving a theater for Black Widow.
Oh, nice.
So I'll let you know how that goes. We should plan on reviewing Black Widow, actually.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that about is it for the show, sadly, this week. Now, next week, Paul, what are you thinking? I mean, I guess Black Widow won't be out. I guess wouldn't really work till the next week, I guess, because it's only July 9th.
Yeah. And I'm having to see it like not day of. I'm going to see it like a few days later.
Okay. Any ideas for next week?
No.
Yeah. One idea I had is that we can maybe find a director or two who we haven't really talked about much on the show and discuss those movies. I don't know who that would be, but that was just one idea I had, is someone who kind of uncharted territory a little bit.
Okay.
But, you know, it's anything is fine with me, of course. But and if anybody else has ideas, feel free to send them our way. So yeah, we'll figure it out, and you can stay updated on social media and at thefilmbuds.com for that information. So, all right. Well, Paul, as always, man, thanks a lot for taking the time.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for reading the script. You know, I'm glad that you enjoyed it, and yeah, thanks for having me on. It's always a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed it as much as we did, and we'll see you next time.